Infowars.com/show.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
Well, we haven't forgotten about the victims of Hurricane Helene or the lack of the FEMA response to both of the hurricanes, quite frankly. And I'm still hearing from people who are on the ground how FEMA is doing nothing. The Biden-Harris administration, even with their promise of a couple hundred dollars, is not even following through on that. They're rejecting a bunch of people. The only people that are down there helping are private citizens. At least the resistance from the government has kind of stopped in that regard, where they were first blocking it and arresting people. But it's still an uphill battle, and the Biden-Harris administration is doing nothing about it. So we haven't forgotten about that with our focus on the upcoming election here. But there's another aspect to the FEMA story that needs to be highlighted here. And so joining me to discuss that is Brianna Segdahl, at Brianna9 on X. She is a senior writer and research fellow for the Beef Initiative Foundation. And she's going to talk today about the Sunrise Movement, the 50% rule at FEMA. And what's even crazier about it is that these policies were changed in September of 2024. So right before this devastation hit. So Brianna joins me now. Well, this was a really shocking story to me. And, you know, we hear a lot about government land grabs. This is a property grab, but also a way to, without having to admit it, but a way of basically saying, well, if your property is so damaged, we're just not even going to help you at all. So, Brianna, explain what's going on here.
Thank you so much for having me on, Owen. So, as you pointed out, I'm a senior writer and researcher for the Beef Initiative, and one of our central tenets is private property rights and land use. So this came to my attention most recently when I started realizing that there were massive reallocations in the Supplemental Appropriations Act for rural development. I began to go through and research these allocations, if you will, and especially in the context of North Carolina. And I traced it back to Biden and Harris's first week in office. So something that's really interesting that the American public may not be aware of, every single new presidential, administration when a president comes into office, they stack the entire administrative state with loyalists and appoint individuals based on their ideological alignment to the president's priorities and agendas. And so the Sunrise Movement was part of the Biden-Harris transition team. And in the first week of office, Biden-Harris signed Executive Order 14008 and 1040, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. But this established what was called the Justice 40 Initiative. The Justice 40 Initiative would go on to become this tripartite agreement for which all of the funding passed through Congress would be allocated down and through. So the administrative state created 400 programs across 16 agencies. And every single dime that has gone through the Inflation Reduction Act, which can actually most appropriately be called the Green New Deal.
Right. And Biden admitted that recently. He was like, yeah, we basically tricked the people. It had nothing to do with inflation. It was a green energy carbon scam, climate change scam. It had nothing to do with inflation, except it caused it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it increased the authority and the centralized authority that is within the administrative state that operates at the pleasure of the president. And so part of the Justice 40 Initiative is this tripartite agreement. But in addition to that, the way that each one of these programs has been administered through the administrative state, if you will, in the rule changes that have occurred subsequent to not only that funding, but that structure is now starting to be seen. And so when it comes to FEMA, their whole new focus, beyond equity being their first goal, is this new rewilding concept. And so what we're finding out in the context of the hurricane is that FEMA is remapping entire areas. And if it's even a 0.1% floodplain, these areas or these homes are incapable of either being rebuilt. They are being analyzed for relocation, and or they are individuals are having exorbitant costs tacked on if they are to rebuild, because there is the new climate justice sort of guidance.
It's like a climate tax.
Well, if you will, but really what it is the federal subversion of local control when it comes to land use and zoning. And so as opposed to just rebuilding, individuals now have to abide by all of these rule changes of how high, how wide, how far back. And in many cases, individuals will not be capable of rebuilding on their own land. So where do people go?
Well, and right now, the answer to your question is they're living in their cars, they're living in tents, they're trying to find anywhere, a family member, a friend, or anywhere locally that his house wasn't destroyed. I mean, the situation for these people is still bad, but it gets worse when you figure out that now their options are so limited in these new climate deals, saying, well, maybe you can't even build here anymore, or you're going to have to pay basically all these regulatory fees or abide by all these new regulations that FEMA, as recently as September 2024, even added new things to this list. They added about half a dozen new things here. But I'm just curious to kind of stay focused on this before we move into the 50-cent rule and some of the other things that are going to keep people from rebuilding. Where does insurance come into this for these people that had home insurance? And so when does, you know, they say, okay, you'll get $700, $800, whatever. And then I guess that's it. And they're supposed to rebuild their entire lives off, you know, $700.
That's a really great question. So in many cases, people had homeowners insurance. They didn't have flood insurance. So homeowners insurance, typical homeowners insurance, does not cover flood. And so what's really interesting is the mainstream media is trying to make this out to be a paid off home or property situation, essentially asserting that people didn't have flood insurance because their homes were paid off. But that's actually not true. So going back to 2022, the federal banking agencies under the Biden-Harris administration enforced what's called a forced place rule. So even in an instance where a property may be in a 1% floodplain, it is now a federal requirement for lending institutions to either require a homeowner, property owner, purchase private flood insurance or force place it and then bill the homeowner for it in escrow account. So essentially tacking it onto their monthly payments. Had any of these homes actually been at risk or previously considered a flood hazard risk, they would have had flood insurance, Owen.
And I'm sure most of these people didn't assume that they were, you know, at risk of their house literally being wiped off the foundations. I mean, this was a generational flood. I mean, once in an ever flood, as far as we know in recorded U.S. history. So before we get into kind of the final stage and what are the people's options, or, you know, how hung out to dry are they? What about the 50% rule that's also coming into play here?
Right. So unfortunately, this is another one of those sort of administrative arbitrage, legalese, word salads, if you will. And so it's important to read what the proposed rule states. It's also important to read in between the lines. So there are five new rules that FEMA will go by when determining if they will help to fund a rebuild. The first rule is, I think it's $364,000 total. If FEMA believes that it is responsible for 50% of that, then they'll rebuild, but only if there are specific parameters met. For, you know, for example, if it's not in a floodplain, if it is, you know, not a new infrastructure. But I think this is probably the most telling clause, and I'll read this to you really quickly. This is part of the only proposed notice that FEMA has given to the public. And it says, in many cases, an applicant may have started facility restoration before federal involvement, even if the facility must undergo detailed review and analysis of alternate locations. FEMA will fund eligible restoration of the original location if the facility is functionally dependent on its floodplain location, such as bridges, flood control facilities, or projects and facilities that are part of an open space use, which I think needs to be discussed a little bit further. But the other part of this is, or facility that is an integral part of a larger network that is impractical or uneconomical to relocate, such as a road.
So you have to be like, try to interpret that. You know, I mean, figure out how you can interpret that, and then you can twist it to your favor, is what it sounds like to me. Especially when they're rezoning these things, and then they can say, "Oh no, this doesn't apply, or this does apply now. We just rezoned it."
Essentially, what they're saying, Owen, is that they will only be rebuilding areas that are within their floodplain location if they're uneconomical to relocate, such as roads and bridges and government-owned structures. So this does not apply to new homes, new structures, or private property, essentially.
So, okay, and I'm trying to make sense of this because it's a lot of legalese, right? It's a lot of just bureaucratic.